Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
.1057 FM, The Fan. You can pick us up there, 12:50 a.m. So two signals. Nice thing about that, if one gets a little spotty, flip to the other one. So radio stations, one of the things that we like to do is be one of your presets. Well, we're so greedy that we want to be two of your presets. Or use the radio.com app. Or hit up your smart speaker. Plenty of ways to hear my voice each and every morning. And this morning, the treat of hearing J.R. Radcliffe's voice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. How are you?
Good. I've just been promoting you as, I don't know, I was talking to J.R. last night, and then I said, you want to come on the show? He goes, yeah, but I want to give Hulu recommendations. And just before the break, I said, honestly, you know, normally we're like, what will the Packers do at secondary? Well, Rob Reichel will tell you next. And then this time I just said, I don't know. I'm just going to talk to JR. So if you want to listen, that'd be great. That was my promotion for you. How are you? You said good already? Fine.
Yes, a rousing recommendation for hearing my voice. But Hulu is legit. I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the way, that service became very, very valuable to me. The content has been fantastic in the last few months.
Do you pay for the non-ad supported way?
I do not. I go with the ads. It's fine.
Oh no, there's more ads on Hulu than a real TV channel.
Oh well, that's not true. Just maybe it's not like a ton less, but it's fine. I live with it. I have to get up and, you know, get another drink, Bart. So you understand that there's breaks in the action.
I understand that very well last night when I was chatting with you, if you couldn't tell. on Hulu right now, we are watching, if we're talking Hulu, I am watching Friday Night Lights. I've never seen it. It's very good.
Wow, okay.
And then the Palm Springs movie, you gotta watch if you haven't already.
Probably my favorite thing so far. Well, I don't know. I was really into Tiger King there for a minute. But I really, total revelation, that Palm Springs movie. Because I'm not a big Andy Samberg. I'm not a big slapstick comedy guy. But that's not what's happening in this movie. He's just, he actually kind of plays almost a straight character. It's a Groundhog Day, a riff on Groundhog Day, which is kind of its own like genre of movie at this point. But it is so good, and I love what they did with it. And it's kind of uplifting and just funny and interesting. It definitely had me. I was not expecting to find that movie or like that movie, but I definitely did, and it seems to be getting some universal acclaim. So people should certainly check that out if they're looking for just a quick hour and 45 minutes. You know, experience here. It's a strong recommendation from J.R. Radcliffe.
Would you time travel if you could?
Oh man, there's so many ramifications of that. I don't know. That's the thing.
Because there's let me give you my theory. Because there's moments in life where I would like to time travel back to, but to like redo. Like, oh, I'd like to redo that soccer game, or I'd like to, you know, I'd like to stand up that bully in fourth grade. But then if you went back and did that, like, I'd still want to end up married to my wife and then have my kid. So then I would have to, like, so if I went back in time, let's say I went back, I think about this. Let's say I went back in time and all of a sudden I was 18 and reliving my senior year of high school. Because I, there's, you know, you want to, everybody wants to do that. Now that you're smarter and wiser, you know, you wish you could redo that and be how you are now in high school. It'd be completely different. But then I'd be like, well, I didn't meet my wife until I was 25. So do I like speed up that process, or do I wait until I meet her normally? That's what I think about as I'm falling asleep.
Yeah. I find myself saying this a lot when I'm talking about where I went to school. I always tell people if I had to do it over again, I would have gone to a different college just because it wasn't probably the right place for my major or the right environment necessarily for what I ultimately ended up wanting to do. But I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have met a ton of friends that you know, that I have today. And like, I don't know, maybe life would be completely, would suck. I have no idea. You know, like those 4 years, they're long gone and done with, and things worked out for me okay, I think. It's complicated. It's one of those be careful what you wish for situations, I guess. I don't know. Should Twitter get an edit button? It's the same concept. I don't know. We probably shouldn't undo the past to some degree.
Talking time travel with J.R. Radcliffe because there are no sports.
There are no sports. I would time travel ahead to when COVID is over, and then we can watch sports again. I'm ready to be done with the next 6 months of my life. So
6 months? 6 months? Okay. I'll take 6 months.
Yeah.
Over under, when do things go back to quote unquote normal? I'm gonna say the 31st of February.
Yeah. I guess it depends what you think of as normal, because I think this is always gonna be to some degree in the back of our minds, certainly for the next several years. And you know, I presume and hope that there will be ways to treat the virus and a vaccine, of course, and different treatments that really mitigate it. But, like, they're going to be people who are at risk or people who are just concerned about getting sick for a long time, you know, in major gatherings. I don't think we'll ever completely wait it out.
I wonder, I think that it'll be over when I can go to a ball game where it's a packed stadium and I go up to get a hot dog and a beer and I come back and I sit in the middle of the aisle and I just like bump through everybody and sit back down and not give any thought. Or then I can like tap on the guy next to me and be like, hey, dude, remember COVID? But I think that's going to be like so long from now.
Yeah, or you can high five the strangers around you when there's a big home run or something. Yeah, I agree with that. It's almost like I find this with raising children. There's sort of this, like the time period where you woke up in the middle of the night because your kid would wake up in the middle of the night. And there comes a time it's like, when is this going to be over? And it lasts for so long that you forget that you even care when it's going to be over. You just sort of accept it's your life now. And then one day you wake up and realize, wow, I've slept through the night for like 6 straight weeks. And it's because that time period ended. But you weren't even thinking about it. That's how I view this. At some point, it's going to change and be over with, and we won't even really have appreciated that, because it's not going to be the flip of a switch, you know, it's just going to be something that we naturally evolve toward over a long period of time, which is so unsatisfying. You just want it to be like, you just want to be able to wake up on a Monday and be like, okay, this is the week we go back to sports and go back to being in crowds, groups of 100 or more, or concerts and things. And it's just not going to be like that. It's going to be such a gradual sort of greater acceptance of risk as we go along. And then at some point, you know, the risk won't be there, but I sure couldn't tell you. It sure doesn't look like that's coming within the next couple of years.
Before I get into the other stuff I want to talk to you about, a quick aside about being dads. Your kids are older than me. How old are your kids?
They are 6 and 8 years old. I don't recommend having a 6 and an 8-year-old.
Okay, they're older than my kid, I mean to say. My kid's going to be a year soon. And this happened to me last night. I want to know if this is like a dad thing or if this is a Bart problem. And I need to...
It's a Bart problem.
I was trying to, I'm trying to put the pajamas on my kid last night, and he's like wiggling all over the place. Okay, he's in that little phase. But I had to call in my wife to do the pants because the way I was sitting, my back, I couldn't physically do it. That's not a normal dad thing. Is that me Is that me being unhealthy?
My frustration with pajamas is that if your child has just come out of a bath or a, you know, shower or whatever, it is physically impossible to get any sort of clothing on that wriggly child when, you know, there's that added, I don't know, what is that, friction or adherence? I'm not sure what the terminology would be for the stickiness that your skin gets when you have just come out of a bath. It's so hard. Yes, there were times where I just gave up and, like, those, like, you know, single-piece jammy sets, I would just forget it. I'll find a pair of shorts to throw in this kid or something else. So I don't think that's just a Bart problem necessarily. I just forget. I don't even remember dressing my kids when they were 1 and 2 years old. There's so much brain damage from being awake and being stressed that I honestly don't even remember trying to put clothes on those kids. But I imagine that's something every father endures.
This is a new segment called Killing Time with J.R. Radcliffe.
Who better to kill it with, though, Bart? I'm a very engaging personality.
Nah, that's why I have you on. You know what? You know, we're in such a weird time, like with sports, where, okay, so for the last couple of years, there's been this hashtag stick the sports thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it can be done. But this time, ever since, you know, leagues shut down, it's been tough these last couple months because there's people that, like, they're desperate for optimism. Well, I am too. But
right.
there's like, the NBA is going to play at Disney for 3 months, and that might be a mistake. But this is where we're at because sports were shut down because of this virus. Well, don't talk about the virus. Don't talk about the biggest sports story of our time, that all sports shut down. Okay. All right, fine. I won't talk about the virus. Let's see what else is going on. Let's check the sports calendar. Hey, NASCAR races, nobody cares. UFC fight, nobody cares. Soccer, nobody cares. All right, let's see. There's athletes speaking about social justice. Stick to sports. Okay, there's got to be a sports story that is not controversial. Oh, here's one. The Washington Redskins are changing their name. So it's like there's no outlet anymore. Everything is sports, but everything's also not sports.
We probably should have known this with the Colin Kaepernick story that there, you just can't avoid the intersections of you know, greater social stories and sports, and that's always going to be the case. And you know, when people say stick to sports, they're saying don't kill my buzz on the escapism I get from sports. And in a way, I even understand that point of view. Like, please keep it separate.
Oh, I get it, like, too, for sure.
But you know, we're at a place where, like you said, you can't extricate those two things. You can't anymore because, like you said, the virus is the biggest sports story. It is the biggest sports story of our lifetimes. There is nothing that has impacted this many different, I mean, right down to high school sports, obviously, college sports. Every sport under the sun is impacted by this in every corner of the globe. So it is the biggest sports story of our lifetime. The problem is there's just no new news. There's nothing new to say about it. There's conflicting reports about how to go about dealing with it, wear a mask or, you know, open the economy. All these things conflict and different, you know, experts have different opinions on how to do it. So we're kind of just all holding our breath until the sports we truly care about are back. And I feel that too. Like, I'm not into NASCAR. I'm not into UFC, and I'm not into intra-squad baseball. I want to watch Major League Baseball. And as much as I'm looking forward to it, there's two things kind of holding me back from excitement over the season starting here, hopefully on July 24th. But I feel like the season probably isn't going to come to an end. I hope I'm wrong, but you know, it seems unlikely that any sport can play for that long and not have major problems. And then on top of it, at some point it is going to feel not inauthentic, but wrong. Like, no fans in the stands, no, you know, that tailgating experience, all those things, they don't matter to me right now because I just want to see sports. I just want to see baseball on my TV. And for 3, 4, 5 games, that's going to be awesome. And then at some point, the sort of dread rolls in, the fact that it's so different, no fans, you can't really have this, like, collective experience that sort of defines what sports are. You know, I just wonder at the end of 60 games if it's going to be like, okay, that was cool, but now it's over, and it wasn't really that fun to begin with because it was so different. And maybe I'm wrong about that too, but you know, there's just a sense of dread over everything, which makes it, you know, do people even want to talk about sports right now? Because everything has to have a caveat. It's like, oh, what are the Packers going to do in their secondary? Are the Packers going to play a season? Like, everything feels like you have to put an asterisk or caveat next to everything, and that makes it even harder to talk about.
Yeah, I talked to a guy about fantasy football today. There's not going to be a...
No. College football has, like, zero chance of happening. I mean, you just try to imagine the scenarios of what it's going to take for college football to happen at all. You know, all these college kids, hundreds of kids on a team, mixing together, full contact. It seems almost impossible. And yet, you know, of course people are going to talk about college football as if it's happening. But it's sort of like, okay, you know, good luck. I hope it happens too. We all hope it happens.
You know, and the Washington thing, and I already regret saying the nickname. It's a slur. That's a slur. That's
total racial slur.
So I'm not, you know, but then for the last couple of years, I have, you know, when that's come up or even just randomly, I've tried not to say it. And I've talked about how it should be changed. And then so I want that name to be changed. So how am I portrayed? Well, Bart wants, he probably wants Indians and Braves and Chiefs and that change. And he probably is going to find a way that Patriots and Yankees is somehow insulting. And that's not the case. I just think that this particular name needed to be changed. If the other ones are found offensive, I don't think people should be doing like the tomahawk chop. I went to the Packers-Chiefs game this last season. There was a guy dressed up in, like, cosplay, and he painted his face. It was black. He did blackface as an Indian.
Oof, brutal.
And the guy's in the crowd, and I don't know how that's acceptable, even, like, in quote-unquote the good old days. But I don't think everything else should be changed. What I find interesting about this one is I've seen the name changes a lot with some of the, like, the high school around here. Like, Oshkosh West, I remember when I was in school, they were the Oshkosh West Indians.
Right, I was there, too. I was in that neck of the woods, yep.
Really, really big deal, and it was very controversial. Well, you can't change this. You can't. We've been the Indians forever. They changed the Wildcats, and then as, like, soon as they changed, no one cared. So it was, like, a huge fight. A huge battle, and then they change. Everyone's like, "Yeah, we're the Wildcats. That's fine." And I wonder if that, you know, is going to be the same with this. And I know you're doing some work on that too.
Yeah, and I've done a lot over the years on high school mascots, and you're right. It is so polarizing in the communities, and like Menominee Falls just voted late last year to change their mascot, and that's a hugely contentious thing. They were the Indians, and they're changing it. I want to say it was in Toma. I feel like maybe that's wrong. One of the schools in Wisconsin. They voted, they changed their mascot, and the community held recall elections and recalled all of the local school board members because they were so upset.
You know what it was, Toma? I don't remember what it was, but I did stories there when I was in lacrosse.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they changed the Timberwolves, and yeah, it's...
What were they beforehand?
I don't remember. Were they the Chieftains?
Maybe.
I should know this. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was there, yeah.
But so polarizing. And you know, in a way, I understand. I read a book a while back called Dancing at Halftime by Carol Spindell, and she laid out sort of the sort of history of Native American mascots. She looked at Chief Illiniwek at the University of Illinois, and she asks a very good question. I mean, obviously, her thesis is that they need to be changed. They're disrespectful, and there's so many problems with them, and yet you hear people say, well, anything can offend, like you were saying before. You know, animals don't offend. I know that you could maybe really reach and find a way. A bear killed my ancestors, so bears are offensive. You know, I that really drives me nuts. But she asks this question: how can this be racism? If everybody is standing unified under a single sort of moniker, they feel pride for their school, pride for their community. You know, they're not thinking about Native American representation in that moment. So how is that actual racism, you know? And you can understand why people identify that experience as what they think about when they think about their alma mater. And so they don't want to look back on that experience and feel like, oh, was that racist the whole time? Was I wrong the whole time? You know, people don't want to think that for generations I've been an Indian and now I find out maybe I was naive or wrong or stupid or racist, you know? And so I get why that's a problem. You know, I personally just feel like we should move on past the point where we're trying to represent racial identities that we don't really know enough about to do accurately, or, you know, have it be a part of our, you know, our recreational experience, when in reality there's, you know, maybe three kids of Native American descent in the whole school, and nobody really knows what it's like to be Native American in the modern day. And, you know, there's so many problems with it. And it is astonishing to me that Redskins has lasted as long as it has. It's a seemingly very overt, very obvious problem. It literally refers to the color of someone's skin. Like, how much more on the nose can you get? But the resistance to that sort of thing is just, it's just astonishing. People do not want to be told that the thing they cheered for is wrong, that their history of cheering or their history of loving something is wrong. And I can understand the conflict there, but you just got to rise above it and understand what's happening.
Go back and watch Peter Pan. There's a song in there, What Makes the Red Man Red? And it's because they blush around a cute girl. It's brutal.
It's not great.
That's brutal. You know what I did see? Somebody tweeted last night, my boy Wolfman. He tweeted the Vikings should change their name because that's a culture that used to pillage towns and murder them all and go on to the next one. So I'm not offended by Vikings, but as a total troll in Minnesota, I will be the radio guy here that makes a campaign to have the Vikings change their name. Because I think that'd be funny.
There's going to be a ton of gray area. My alma mater, Crusaders, is the mascot of Valparaiso University. And there's a movement afoot, and I think a justified one, to say, why do you want to be represented by someone who basically went out and killed everybody that wasn't just like them? You know, like, the Crusades are sort of rife with all sorts of terrible atrocities, but at the same time, they happened so long ago, you have to wonder, well, what is the statute? You know, like, you can understand why people who are upset by statues of Confederate leaders, I mean, that's 200 years ago. There's still some impact in modern day. But, you know, when we're talking centuries ago, like, I don't know, is there a point where, okay, Crusader doesn't mean that anymore, it means something else? Something like the Marquette Warriors, that was the popular sort of response to that. Warrior doesn't necessarily mean Native American warrior. It can mean a lot of other things. So that's where it gets really dicey. It's the connotation of the word and representation of the image. Like, how do those things work together, and how do you sort of make it so that we acknowledge it's not actually a people that we're representing, it's a concept.
Not to interrupt, but I have to do this real quick. Goal! The Chicago Fire are up 1-0 on Seattle. Live in maybe one of the, this guy made a move in the MLS that's not even worthy for the MLS. I'm actually stunned this goal happened in the MLS. Yeah, he like kicked it behind through his legs. It was very nifty. So live soccer on right now. The Chicago Fire.
Not an American player, I assume. A European player, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he is European. But also, Chicago Fire. There was a Chicago Fire. They're paying homage to that, but they kill a lot of people. They should change their name. JR?
The Chicago Fire was not very deadly.
It wasn't?
No, I don't know exactly, but I really only feel like a small handful of people were killed.
How big was the Peshtigo Fire?
Right. Well, the big thing in Wisconsin is that the Peshtigo Fire killed far more than the Chicago Fire. And everyone in Wisconsin will tell you that, especially those who live in Peshtigo, happening on the same day as the Chicago Fire. And that, to my knowledge, is completely true, that far more people were killed in the Peshtigo Fire.
I feel like when I was in elementary school, we did like 3 months on the Peshtigo Fire, and our whole sixth grade, everything was Egypt for some reason. Everything we did. We made pyramids. We made sarcophaguses or sarcophagi or whatever. It was weird.
I have the exact same experience. Sixth grade was Egypt. There was a whole Egypt unit. The whole
school. But the whole year. Math, science, everything was Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Fourth grade, I feel like I got the Wisconsin history course. And that, I feel like I took more away from third grade than I did from sixth grade. I don't know much about Egypt.
Yeah. All right, I think that was enough time to kill. JR, appreciate your time, as I wasted it here for sure, but we do thank you, and I hope to see you in person sometime soon.
Absolutely, Bart. I love wasting time on your airwaves. Call me back anytime. We'll do it again.
JR Radcliffe on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. I say that tongue-in-cheek, killing time. It was good to talk to JR. You know, he's insightful. He's knowledgeable. He works with the Journal Sentinel. Hope to provide some laughs along the way. And if you learn a little something by accident, too, you know, that's good as well. Hey, real quick, Sam, I just want to remind you. I just want to remind you.
Yeah.
About Window Select.
Oh. I heard they're at this great deal they got.
Yeah, they do. It's a buy one, get one. Yeah, and I told you that earlier.
Right.
But now I just want to remind you.
Oh, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to remind you, Window Select has a great deal. Buy one, get one free. No payments till 2021, as Sam just alluded to. Buy one, get one free on the windows and no payments till 2021. And these are some of the best windows that you will find. High quality, energy efficient, and they come with a double lifetime warranty. Two lifetimes. You could break science, break the mold, live actually two long lifetimes, and your windows will still be good with Window Select. They make sure that you have the highest quality product, and they make sure that it fits your home. They'll come on out and do the at-home estimate at no charge to you, and then they'll be the ones to come in and do the installation. They know their products better than anyone, so they'll be the ones to do that. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500, locally based, Milwaukee-based, in Menominee Falls, as we were discussing, in Menominee Falls. And again, they have replacement windows, siding, and doors as well. So this is the, I think this is the kind of summer that a lot of people have been making sure that home is, you know, a 10 out of 10. And you can help see your home in a new light this summer, whether you're looking to remodel or sell, or just make sure that your home is as cozy and as functional as possible. It's going to lower the cost of your heating and cooling bills throughout the year as well with these windows of the quality that they are. So check them out. Window Select, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. One thing that we're doing on the show is recapping the Bucks season, how we got to this 53-12 point. Bucks did lose to the Sixers on Christmas, but they had their revenge a couple of weeks later, and the TNT guys, they were seemingly out for revenge on the Sixers as well.
Giannis is playing with force, and Embiid is playing SOF capital T.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
Shaq said it there, not me. Embiid playing soft. I'm Bart Winkler, another Bucks recap. This was a busy night, February 6th. The Bucks coming into this game 43-7 against the Sixers. So remember the Sixers won the Christmas Day championship? Well, the Bucks won the February 6th championship. Just another game, but it was the first time since these two teams met on Christmas. Bucks get the victory in this one, 112-101. It was a busy night with the All-Star selections that night. Giannis, of course, taking Middleton. He also took Joel Embiid, who didn't have a great night. 6 of 26 shooting, ended up with 19 points. Giannis, much better, 13 of 25, 9 of 12 from the stripe, 20 boards, 36 points. And a little mean mug.
22 points.
Oh no! You got that jam right there. Wow! That face says it all.
And this is a broken play, a deflection, and a rebound right into the hands of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Perfectly positioned.
Yes.
Perfectly positioned.
The TNT guys continuing to be brutal to the Sixers. Bucks get the win, 44-7 on the season. 112-101 over the Sixers.
You know, I picked the Sixers to get to the finals. I think they are the softest, mentally weakest team that had a bunch of talent. They are the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
Damn.
They got a lot of talent.
Browns?
And they talk the talk, and that's it.
You know, they are a fascinating team, the Philadelphia 76ers. Mixing things up a little bit at practice. It's been said for a long time that Ben Simmons is good and Joel Embiid is good, although Simmons the most overrated player in the league, quote Sam Schmitz. But they can't play on the floor at the same time, so you almost have to have like two different teams. But now what they're doing is, because they've been playing Al Horford and Joel Embiid together in practice at least over the weekend, Horford's the bench guy now, it looks like, and Simmons is getting some run at the four, and Shake Milton, FanDuel All-Star, because he's dirt cheap, and he plays when Simmons is out, and you can get like 30 points from him for like $4,000 in FanDuel money. I am rostering Travis Diener tonight, by the way. I don't care what he says. He told me not to.
As you should.
I'm going. I can't not. The basketball tournament tonight at 6. Sideline Cancer, Golden Eagles. It is on the four-letter network, or as Clay Travis calls it, MSESPN. Quick aside, Clay Travis is the worst person, and if you like him, he is exploiting you. Moving on. What was I talking about? Oh, the Sixers. The Sixers are very interesting, not just for this Ben Simmons shakeup, but also the home road thing. They suck on the road. They're great at home, but now there's going to be no crowd. They're interesting. I don't think they're better than the Bucks. I'm interested to see what they look like. I still think the Bucks get out of the East, and maybe maybe the Celtics are a tougher opponent, but the Sixers, they are certainly interesting. There's a reason they get more national attention than Milwaukee. Because what's interesting about Milwaukee, the Bucks, they beat teams by 12 to 15 points every night. There's no storyline there. Big storyline with the Sixers. Very, very interesting. Fun stuff. $2 on the line. Sam Schmitz versus Evan Heffelfinger. The cameo challenge comes up next. Bart Winkler here on The Fan 1250 on your AM 105.7 FM. 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Good morning. Tim Allen in for Bill Michaels. 10 to 2 today. Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6. Those guys are all in. Tim's all in. Bill's all in. I'm all in. Milwaukee is in. Wisconsin is in. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, Wisconsin is all in. Check it out. Hashtag We Are All In. Learn more at WeAreAllInWI.com. Bart Winkler joined here by Sam Schmitz last few days. Thank you for your service. Horvath will be back tomorrow with the pregame show. Evan Heffelfinger, the associate producer of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Guten Morgen.
Hello.
To you. So there is a little bit of a hiccup on my end. It's the cameo challenge today. I told Sam we'd play for more than a dollar. We'll play for two.
Okay.
I was going to maybe go as high up as three, but I played a DraftKings on this Fire Sounders game that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle up or down. Fire up 1-0. But I entered a DraftKings lineup, and then I didn't save it.
Oh.
So I wasted a buck. And then the guy that I took as my MVP actually had the goal. So
that crazy goal?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just salt in the wound.
So I'm pissed. And then the computer, the internet was not working. No websites worked.
Okay.
Except Twitter. My tweet deck was still updating, and no websites worked.
Okay.
So I'm restarting the computer, so I have to go to my phone for my cameo challenge. And I probably could have done this earlier, but let me just open up my... I can't use my Outlook app. I open up my Gmail app. Just give me a minute here. There's been worse air on the station, so I'm not too concerned.
Can you name a few examples?
Yes. Will I know? I can name a bunch from yesterday.
You should remind us about some of these instances.
I just want to play a little cameo.
You should remind us of the rules, at least.
I will, Evan. Thank you. So Cameo, the website where you can have celebrities send you a recorded video message personalized. So on my birthday, Jeff Janis sent me a happy birthday message. Thanks to my friends Paul Immig and Ryan Horvath. It cost them $20.
Very good deal.
Not bad.
People do forget. So what tends to happen is the bigger celebrity you are, the more you charge. Although some celebrities have a bigger self-worth than they should, and some know that they're important, but they go at a bargain. They go, you know, if you're going to sell one for $1,000, maybe you get two or three takers over a month. But if you're going to sell it for $150, you get 30, 40 takers. You end up making more money. You do a little more work, but you make more money.
Simple economics, supply and demand.
For the longest time, it was really D-list central on Cameo. Really, nobody was on there except for reality stars and, even worse people. In the last couple of weeks, a lot more sports stars, like real people, have come on. So we've got some real people for you today in this cameo challenge. It should be fun. Evan Heffelfinger versus Sam Schmitz. Evan, I will allow you to go first. We will have 12 rounds. The most you can get right is 6. If you guys are tied in any way, we will have the tiebreaker round. I will start with you. I was stunned to see 2 big-time boxers on cameo yesterday. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, both on cameo.
Wow.
Who do you think costs more, Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather?
Both of them are pretty full of themselves, but anyone in MMA or boxing has to be full of themselves, because otherwise, why would you go out and get, you know, punched over and over again? So, that's tough. Who needs the money more? I don't think either of them need the money more.
No.
I'm going to go Manny Pacquiao.
You think Manny Pacquiao costs more than Floyd Mayweather?
No, I'm going to go Floyd Mayweather.
You think Floyd Mayweather costs more than Manny Pacquiao?
Yes.
I'm going to need you to lock in your answer.
I lock it in. Floyd Mayweather.
All right, that's locked in. Now, what if I told you that the difference between the two was only $1? Would that sway your answer in any way?
No.
Okay. Manny Pacquiao cost $1,000, and Floyd Mayweather cost $1 less.
Yep.
Your initial instinct.
Surprising for the guy whose nickname is Money.
Yeah, it is. $999, a lot of money. But
very
Pacquiao,
specific too.
One more. All right, let's go to Sam. Sam, you got a chance to take an early lead here. Who costs more, former Dodgers skipper Tommy Lasorda, current Dodgers skipper Dave Roberts? Who costs more on cameo?
It should be Lasorda, but I'm going to go Dave Roberts.
Yeah, why is that, Sam?
Just more modern. I feel like the younger generation probably isn't very familiar with Lasorda.
Okay. Well, reasoning aside, you are correct. Dave Roberts cost $230, and Tommy Lasorda cost $150. See, these are bigger names on cameo.
Yeah.
This is legit. So Sam's up 1-0. Evan, who costs more, current Yankees manager Aaron Boone or current Yankees general manager Brian Cashman? Aaron effing Boone or a guy whose name is Cashman? Who costs more?
Aaron Boone, the 2003 ALCS hero.
Aaron effing Boone.
Savage.
Or
in the box,
Brian Cashman.
So you've had Money Mayweather and now Cashman.
I got to follow the money. I'm going Cashman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Boone cost $240. And the cash man only cost $100. Sam, who costs more, Tiger King villain Carol Baskin?
Oh, Carol Baskin.
I can't explain her on the radio.
Yeah.
Or Tigers legend and former Brewer and world's nicest man, Curtis Granderson?
Oh, the Grandy man.
He can.
I love Curtis. It should be Curtis. But Carol's got that clout right now.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
You know, the thing about Tiger King is I don't think it has any staying power.
I never watched it.
Like, it's already, like, you say Tiger King, it's, like, dated as hell.
Right.
The first
three, but it was, like, 2 months ago.
The first, like, 3 or 4 episodes are incredible. The last 2 or 3 just completely fall off.
Yeah. What a mess. So, who did you say?
Carol Baskins.
Carol Baskin is correct. You're up 2-0. On the quest for $2. She cost $199. It's actually
that's
less
low
than I thought she
yeah,
would,
that,
right?
Yeah, that's low.
Oh, man.
Curtis Granderson cost $99.
It's a lot more expensive than I thought for Curtis.
Evan, you're going to need a point here.
Yeah.
Which of these former MLB pitchers turned broadcasters cost more? John Smoltz or Oral Hershiser? Who costs more?
That's a toughie.
Smoltzy.
Or, Smoltzy.
Or Oral Hershiser.
See, Smoltz is more recent.
Mm-hmm.
My gut is telling me Smoltz, but Hershiser has been around for a while. I'm going Smoltz. Let me guess, I got it wrong, and you were trying to tell me something.
It is John Smoltz.
Oh, okay, I was just laughing because he's shaking his head.
I was trying to give him a subtle hint because I want the game to continue.
Right.
You're right. John Smoltz cost $100, and Oral Hershiser cost $75. So, Evan, you got a point. Sam leads 2-1. Sam, who costs more? Albert Pujols? Again, this is on the website Cameo. Or, I don't know, should this guy be a Hall of Famer, David Ortiz?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I don't know. He's kind of in that caliber of Ichiro.
Well, yeah, if Ichiro gets in, David Ortiz should be in.
Yeah. Who costs more, Albert Pujols or David Ortiz on Cameo?
Big Poppy.
Big Poppy, well, I'll tell you, Albert Pujols costs $500.
Jeez.
Poppy is $750.
Wow.
Sam 3-for-3 is running away with this thing.
This is just night and day between trivia and this.
Evan, who costs more? Mike Ditka.
Da Bears.
Or Ray Lewis.
Ooh.
One of these guys was, of course, immortalized in a popular SNL skit. One of them is an alleged murderer. Who costs more?
One of them was the star/villain of the Will Ferrell movie Kicking and Screaming.
I'm going to watch that today.
And one of them probably got away with killing a couple people. Who costs more? Allegedly.
People forget.
Allegedly.
You have to throw that out there for libel. Who costs more? He's listening, so he would sue you.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis cost $300. Mike Ditka cost $500.
Wow.
Sam, if you get this one, you've won the game.
Okay.
And you've won $2.
Okay.
Who costs more? Fiona the Hippo? You don't know Fiona the Hippo? Cincinnati Zoo?
I've been to the Cincinnati Zoo. I think it's overrated.
Skyline Chili? Everyone knows Fiona the Hippo.
No, when I was in Cincinnati, we didn't really tour the city that much.
So who knows who costs more? A hippo at the Cincinnati Zoo? Or there's a dog that looks like the dog from Marley and Me, and you can get a greeting from that dog.
That just sounds like torture.
I cried during that movie, man.
Yeah, well, this one's not dead.
Okay.
So who costs more, Fiona the Hippo or the dog that looks like Marley from Marley and Me? If you get this right, you win the game.
Fiona sounds like a great gal, but people love dogs. So I'm going to go with the, what was the name of it?
Marley, the dog that looks like Marley.
I'll go Marley.
Marley cost $85. Fiona cost $100.
Jeez.
While we're talking about the Cincinnati Zoo, rest in peace, Harambe. We'll never forget.
Yeah. Okay. Were you a big Home Improvement fan? Who costs more on Cameo? The guy who played Al?
So the neighbor?
Yeah. No, Al.
Oh, no, Al. Okay, I gotcha. His best friend.
Richard Karn.
Yeah.
Or the woman who played Heidi, Debbie Dunning. Who costs more, Al or Debbie Dunning? Heidi or Al? If you get this wrong, the game's over.
Heidi was the other one on the show, right? On the Tool Time show.
Both of these are on Tool Time.
Okay.
And then Tim was the host.
I'm going to go with Heidi.
Yeah?
Unless you're telling me I should go with...
I'm not telling you anything.
I'm going to go Heidi.
All right. Sam, you've won $2. You are incorrect.
I am undefeated.
Congratulations, Sam. You still are undefeated in Cameo?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm 4-0 or 3-0 or... Either 4-0 or 5-0. I don't know.
Wow.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yeah?
Even though I have no idea who the Academy is.
Okay.
And that's it.
The Cameo home game is available for purchase at bartwinkler.com. So check that out as soon as you can. And also, Sam, you've won $2. There was a Home Improvement Christmas episode once where Tim was singing, instead of Noel, he was singing Noel, Noel. I thought it was the funniest joke I've ever heard at that point. So,
I used to watch that show when it was on Nickelodeon, like as reruns. I liked it.
Yeah. It used to go head-to-head against, I believe, Frasier. It was a big war. Big Tuesday night war.
Frasier's another show. When I grew up, it was on My 24 at like 10 o'clock at night. And I would watch it and I liked it, but I didn't understand a single word that they were saying the entire time.
Bart Winkler Show, we're back in 60 seconds. Congrats, Sam. FM, The Fan. A reminder during my show to listen to my show. You can never use enough reminders. I'm Bart Winkler. Our show, my show and your show. Your chance to voice your opinions. It's always been that. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Sam Schmidt's in the house. As we say, Evan Heffelfinger here. I'm watching the soccer game. I've been talking about that. Nobody cares, but... Oh, I missed a goal!
Yeah, I watched it. It was cool.
Well, how did it go down?
They were, like, stacking up the box, and then the kick came in, and this dude, like, hit it into the upper 90.
That's actually a very good description. Was it a free kick?
No.
No.
I don't think. Set piece? I don't know. Sure.
You know what a set piece is?
Is that, like, a suit?
A set piece is like a free kick.
Okay. I've watched soccer before. I played
it
1 year.
Oh, really?
I played it in third grade.
Yeah, were you any good?
I was better than I should have been. And then I would play it in like high school gym class and just got crushed.
I bet you suck at kicking. I bet you're one of those guys you like kick awkward, like you use your whole body.
I toe bomb.
Yeah, you're a toe bomber. But, you know, we'll play like... The thing that annoyed me as a soccer player... is everything because we're pretentious. But the thing that annoyed me as a soccer player was when we were really young, we would do a parents versus kids game at the end of the season. And, you know, the parents, I don't know if they were any good or not, but they let us win. But so the kids, you know, you can kick a soccer ball. But then the parents, you know, like if you've never thrown a football before, you can grab a football and make a throwing motion. You'd like know how to throw something.
Yeah.
But for kicking a soccer ball, instead of just like standing still and kicking it, parents, you'd always use like your whole body like a slinky. Then instead of just kicking it, they would go down and be like, doink, doink. You know, you're like bending your, just kick the ball. It's not that hard to kick a ball. How hard is it to kick a ball?
See, it's not hard, but it is also one of the hardest things you can do just because like hand-eye coordination is one thing. You need that in just about every sport, but foot-eye coordination is different just because it's so far away.
Sure. Thank you. So this game that I'm watching, there is no crowd noise because there's no crowd. They're also playing at Disney, which I do find interesting. But then it's on ESPN, so there's no crowd noise. When these games air on FS1 or Fox, they have been using fake crowd noise, and it times up with the game. So essentially, you have a guy... whose job it is to manage the crowd noise. And if there is a foul, he presses a button and there's boos or cheers, depending on who is the designated home or away team. I actually like the crowd noise in soccer. I find it easier to watch these games with fake crowd noise. I'm not sure I'm going to feel that way with every sport. I do think football is going to need fake crowd noise. I don't know if you're, Evan, pro crowd noise or not.
I feel like I need to hear it in use because... I also think for us on the broadcast, they have to, you know, mute the players because they're probably going to say some things that they're not allowed to say due to FCC rules. So I wonder how much we actually hear of on the court or on the field. And, oh, there's
goal!
Another goal.
Fire up 2-1. Go ahead.
I'm kind of a fan of the fan noise, though. I mean, golf does it all the time. They feed in, like, the noises, that kind of thing. I feel like it's not a new thing. Haven't some, like, major sports stadiums been caught putting fan noise into the stadium?
Yeah, I went to a Packer game a few years ago. I was telling Sam this in St. Louis when they still played there, the Rams, and we could see the speaker behind us. Because it was like 80% Packer fans in December. Favre's last year, the Rams sucked. It was a third down, third quarter. There are no Rams fans there. And the crowd's going like, it was the loudest it's been all game. And we look around and nobody was cheering. But then the noise of the stadium was magnified. I don't think that should happen in stadiums. Like if the Packers are playing the whoever.
No, that's obnoxious.
You know, you can still hit play and go defense. Defense. That's still fine. But if you're going to use actual fake crowd noise while these guys are playing, that is going to be too much. So I think for the TV aspect, I want it. It's just, I don't want to look at these empty stadiums, man. I think I need the crowd noise. 799-1250.
See, part of me, I'm fine with the empty stadiums.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm a fan of empty stadiums. It's kind of just, I mean, if you know me, you know I like anarchy. And this is all anarchy. This is something we've never seen before. I mean, unless you go to like an Orioles game or something. So I don't know. I'm just happy to have the thought that we might actually have sports back for a month. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at right now. I don't think it's going to last. But I'm at the point where I don't care what happens. I don't care if they're wearing a full hazmat suit while they're playing basketball. I'm ready for it.
See, I think in the NBA, I think you will see other guys go to the other games.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, yeah, you can go and see a DJ set or you can go play bags, but then you're going to get bored.
Middleton says he's open to it, and I'm sure these other guys will. Like, if you're the Bucks and you've got to play a team coming up and they're playing, why not just go to the game?
I mean, you know the coaches are. They're going to be scouting.
Yeah.
You should be as well.
And you know when there's an all-star game, or I'm thinking the slam dunk contest and stuff like that where you have the guys go crazy. I think they will go crazy. That there's a lot of these guys that are friends with everybody else in their league. So in the NBA, I don't think we're going to need fake crowd noise because I think it has to do with the size of the stadium too. I think seeing a big empty stadium and then not hearing crowd noise, it's almost like morbid. Then you start to like think, well, why are we doing this? But if you play in a smaller field, like the soccer game I'm watching, there are really no stands. So it's not that imposing. To see these teams that are going to play in these 80,000-seat stadiums, I mean, these stadiums are built to jam as many people into the stadium as possible. And if you're not going to have fans, it's the echo's going to be bad and it's going to be weird and the whole thing's going to be, you know, terrible. But I think that I wanted to see, like, the NFL, my idea was they should play at, like, high schools nearby.
So they go to, like, St. Norbert?
Yeah. Because I thought if the NBA was going to have to play in their home markets, I wanted to see them play at high schools or small colleges. Because I've been in high school gyms where there's 400 people, but it's filled to capacity.
Yeah.
And it's super loud.
I mean, you go to a Germantown game. You might as well think you're at a Wisconsin Badgers game. I'm serious. There's like 1,000 people in there.
Yeah, okay. You're serious? You sounded condescending a little bit.
No. I was in the same conference as Germantown, and Sam knows because he was in our conference. Oh, no, you weren't. Never mind. I don't know who I was thinking of. But, I mean, Germantown.
Did you guys know that Dan Plucker's married?
Yeah.
Yeah, people forget.
Do you know that I am not?
People do not forget.
No. That's the most obvious thing in the entire world.
People do not forget.
No.
Well, you're so young.
I'm old.
No, you're not. Are you 22?
3.
23. Okay. I want fake crowd noise on TV when it comes to soccer, and I'm going to say football. Baseball, I want to see how that goes down first. NBA, I think the atmosphere will speak for itself. Hockey. I do have some hockey news. Dean Evason, former Admirals coach, was the interim coach with the Minnesota Wild. He has been given the head coach title.
Wow.
Hey, there we go.
It's a little Admirals news to wrap up the show. I saved that one for the very end. Very, very end. Things are running smoothly around here. Hope they are in your neck of the woods as well. The Bill Michaels Show is up next. 10 to 2 on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.